Morning. So good to be here. Thank you for the invitation to come and spend this time with you today. I can think of no other important topic, really, that confronts many congregations today than the one that we're addressing today in this summit. And I commend the elders for this opportunity today to where we can talk about this and study it and see what God's Word has to say. I know this is an issue. The role of elders and the work of elders and the need for elders is a subject that confronts many congregations. Currently, where my parents attend, that congregation has been in existence for 42 years. They've not had elders yet. In my experience and knowing that family of believers, they've studied the eldership at least 5 or 6 times, but yet have not grown to the point to where they can appoint godly men to lead them. And currently that congregation suffers because of it. There's no leadership. There's little direction. They seem to flail around with various things, in the major and the minors. It creates lots of problems for them. Yet, we know in congregations today, this is the pattern that God has set. God has set the pattern where we have men that lead us and serve us. And I think it is important that we study the eldership. We need to know and understand and practice the scriptures on the teaching of this matter. In Ephesians chapter 4, which has been mentioned in several occasions this morning, that passage tells us that elders are an important part of what Jesus has provided for the health of the local congregation. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, that passage tells us that elders watch for our souls. We need to understand that our elders are there to help us and guide us and instruct us. If we are to pattern ourselves after the New Testament, then we must have scriptural concepts of the eldership, both in belief and in practice. There are many congregations right here in the Miami Valley that have been blessed to have elders. And those who serve as elders often do an exceptional job in donating their time and their energy and their effort to their local church families. The elders that I know that serve are busy. Much of their work is done behind the scenes. They offer advice and they offer their wisdom to the members of their flock. Elders live by their example and lead the congregation in a direction that is pleasing to God. And if you are in a congregation that has been blessed with elders, you need to pray for them continually. They work very hard and are dedicated to what they do. Do your best to let them know of your appreciation for the work that they do. Now, what we're going to do today, I had two things in mind, and since much of the first part of the lesson has been covered previously, I'm not going to go into great detail about it. But on the outline, there's two things that we're going to do. We're going to talk first about elders during the New Testament period. And then the most important part of the lesson is we're going to look at the responsibilities that members of the local congregation have toward those that serve over them. So let's spend just a moment or two just briefly talking about elders during the New Testament period. And for this, I do want to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Here's verses 11 and 12. And one of the things you see here in this passage is the different offices that made up the New Testament church. There were apostles and prophets and evangelists. There were shepherds and teachers. Now, obviously today, with the passing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, some of those offices have gone away. But we do note the purpose of the offices that remain. Look at verse 13. That is, elders and teachers equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so what we learn from this passage is that the eldership is a divine provision for a real need. And following this initial period of establishment with congregations in the New Testament, elders were established in every congregation, we are told. They were known as elders and overseers and shepherds. And we've talked a great deal today about how these terms are interchangeable, and they describe the work of the same men within the local church. Each of these terms talks about how they provided oversight to the local congregations. Their work was different from the local evangelist. We also see during the New Testament period, those who served in this capacity were men. There was a plurality of them. They were co-equal in their rule, and their oversight was limited to the local congregation. Now, what I'd like to spend the majority of our time together today about is this. We need to know and understand that elders and congregations have responsibilities to one another. It has been said that elders can't make a congregation do anything. You need lots of communication between the flock and shepherds. Any relationship involves mutual responsibilities. Both brethren and elders have the right to expect certain things of one another. And shepherds will not serve effectively unless the flock understands its responsibilities to them. I think our previous speakers this morning have done an excellent job in talking about the work of elders and their responsibilities to the flock. Now what we want to do in this time is talk about the congregation's responsibility toward those who serve them. This is something that is neglected in many places. In my experience, I've worked with two congregations that have elders. Both of those congregations, it was an involved, active eldership with godly men who were doing their best to serve the flock. But yet there were some issues here and there. And one of the issues was that sometimes between the brethren and the elders, the relationship turned adversarial. Brothers and sisters, the relationship with your elders has not been intended by God to be that. I know of one place where a family had an issue with the eldership. 30 years before, the eldership had handled an issue with a member's son. And what was interesting was that eldership, at least when I was the preacher there, that eldership that had handled that issue 30 years ago was no longer intact. Two of the men who were serving as elders in 1976 had died. The other was still an elder, but had grown significantly in his work as an elder since that time. But this sister could not get over what had happened with her son. And so every decision that was made was greeted with skepticism and criticism and problems. If there was some major issue that this sister or others in her family were experiencing, the last person they would go is to the elders, because those elders hurt her 30 years before. And what it turned into was an adversarial relationship. That sister would tend to come to me and complain to me about the elders. And I would stop her and say, "You need to be taking this matter to the elders. They're the shepherds. They're the ones that are leading." But I've seen this happen over and over and over again in congregations because members in the congregation do not have the proper relationship with their elders. Let me just say this, brothers and sisters. It's already been said this morning, but elders are not perfect. They are not going to always make the best decision. Hindsight is always 20/20. And they may be able some years later to reflect on a decision that was made previously and say, you know, maybe we could have done this or maybe we could have done that. There needs to be a lot of grace on both sides of the relationship. This relationship was never intended to be adversarial. So how do we get this relationship where it needs to be? Well, we're going to talk about that for a few moments this morning. And I want to start by just suggesting this. If I want to have the proper relationship with my shepherds, I am going to need to know them. And for this, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Here's Paul writing. Notice what he says. "We ask you, brothers, respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." When I read this passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, it teaches me that it is my duty to be well acquainted with those who rule over me. I need to know my elders by understanding the lives that they live. I need to see the truth that they advocate. I need to be working to develop the kind of relationship with them where I feel comfortable to go with them at any time, with any problem, and be able to pour my heart and soul out to them and say, "How can God help me with this? How can you help me? What is your advice?" Our elders are there to give personal advice and instruction. Many times elders do their best to try to know each member of the congregation. Many elders do their best and try to perform their duties in that regard well. But yet, at the same time, there are some members who choose not to know the elders. And that's wrong. That is not fulfilling the admonition here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. Not only must the elders know the flock, but the flock needs to know the elders. That's what's communicated here in this passage. Look again at the passage. Respect those who labor among you and are over you and admonish you. We talk about knowing or appreciating the elders. That involves much, much more than just being acquainted. In fact, if you begin to dig deep and go into the original language here and the meaning behind some of these wordings, Paul is suggesting that we are to have regard for our elders or to cherish them and to pay attention to them. There's never any excuse for a member of the Lord's family to be cold or distant toward or to treat an elder with disrespect. There's never an excuse for that. Members have the responsibility to understand their authority and to respect them and to highly regard their leadership. If you are not acquainted with the shepherds of your local congregation and their rule, you are neglecting your responsibility as a child of God. H.E. Phillips in his writing has said, there is no greater mark of success than any local church than for the elders to know each member and each member to know the elders and respect their work and instruction in the Lord. Let's go keep going here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at the next verse, because in this verse, Paul teaches that we need to esteem the elders very highly in love. Here's the passage. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. There is no greater honor bestowed upon a man than to be an elder in the local church. They have been entrusted with overseeing to matters that relate to the souls of those in that church. And this alone, this fact of the responsibility that they bear, should make them worthy of honor and respect. One of the things that we see in the New Testament is that there is great dignity associated with this office. And notice here, verse 13 again, Paul says that we need to esteem them highly in their work. Now what does that mean? When we talk about that word esteem, it means that the church needs to consider them as leaders and rulers, that they have the authority. And notice also here in verse 13, they are to be esteemed very highly. This is not some casual thing. This is real. This is serious. This is important. We need to understand the seriousness and the prestige of their office. All of those things need to be considered when thinking of the eldership. And notice also here in verse 13, we esteem them very highly in love. We need to have that attitude toward our elders. Love them, appreciate them, give them consideration for the work that they do. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that nothing done without love will count as anything. Elders should love the church and their work. Christians should love the elders for their work and respect them for their work. We cannot do too much for those who are watching over our souls, because theirs is an extreme responsibility, and we need to look upon them as righteous men of God. Just for a moment, take into consideration the number of hours that elders invest in prayer. Prayer for you. Prayer for the children in the local family. Prayer for everyone. Prayers for the evangelist. There are hours that are invested in that. Think for a moment of the nights where sleep has been lost because they are worried about the problems that members of the flock are experiencing. Think about the time that is invested in going and exhorting brethren who are trying to walk away from the Lord. All of those things constantly pressed down on those shepherds. Where are they going? How can I reach this person? How can I make an impact on them? How can I help turn them back to the Lord? One of the great things about a normal job is at 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, you can turn the lights off and walk out the door and lock the door and leave it, because it'll all be sitting there Monday morning when you walk back in. But it's not like that when you're an elder. Work goes on long after business hours, sometimes into the night, through the night, and into the next day. You need to be cognizant of that. Theirs is an extreme responsibility and great task. We need to appreciate them for that. Esteem them very highly in love for their work. And if we will do this, if more people in local church families would have the type of attitude that Paul is describing here in this passage, I believe there'd be a lot more harmony within local churches. I believe there'd be a lot more cooperation between the congregation and the elders in the Lord's work. So we need to esteem them highly. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And really what I'm doing in these next two points is I'm trying to set things up for Brother Grushon, who's going to be speaking at 2 o'clock. He's going to go into a lot more detail than what I'm going to here. And again, I'm approaching this from the congregational responsibility toward those who serve. But one of the things communicated in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 is that members of the local church are to be submissive to the eldership. Sometimes this is our, one of my experiences is there are brethren who will say, "Amen, Brother Allen, I agree that we need to be submissive to the elders," until the elders make a determination that they don't agree with. I don't read that here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Here it is. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as to those who will give an account." Notice the next sentence. "Let them do this with joy and with not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." We are to be in subjection to the wishes of the elders. We're to let their decisions prevail over ours. When you go back and begin digging into the original language here, the intention of the apostolic writers was this. We need to be willing to give way. That's what is meant by obeying them. We need to yield. We need to yield to their authority and admonition. And as we can give this consideration, what is being communicated here in verse 17 basically is an attitude. And it is an attitude that desires to obey. Brothers and sisters, I think sometimes we just have problems with obedience and following the true admonition of the Scripture. You can't get much more plain than Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders. By the way, when congregations made the determination to install elders, the congregation went on record saying that they would submit to the authority and the leadership of the elders. And again, that's fine and dandy for many families members, but until that eldership makes a decision that they don't like. And here's a, we were talking earlier about the number of congregations in a local area. And this is a big problem, because what has happened in some congregations is the elders make decisions and someone says, "Well, I don't like your decision, I'm just going to leave and go somewhere else." And that contributes to problems in local congregations. That contributes to a lack of growth in some places, because there's not much stability. Obey your leaders. Also, along with this is the idea of submission. And we've got to submit to them. And this differs slightly from the concept of obedience, in that we are to comply with their wishes without necessarily meaning the desire to obey. Sometimes they're going to make decisions that we don't agree with, but we just got to go along with it anyway because that's who they are, and they're in that position. This means we yield to their decisions of judgment, both as to attitude and action. And Brother Gershon's going to talk more about that today in detail. Because when we become a member of a local congregation, we agree to willingly submit to the judgment and the authority of the eldership. Now let's back up 10 verses, if you're still open here in Hebrews 13. And what I want to do is look at verse 7, because as Heath just talked about previously, about the role of elders and them setting the example, here comes the congregational responsibility to remember and imitate the elders. Elders have the responsibility to set the example, and members of the local church family have the responsibility to follow that example. Here's verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Notice, consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. So we need to be mindful of their instruction in righteousness. We need to be mindful of their personal counsel. And we need to heed and follow their example of Christianity. Not only are we to recall these things, but we are to imitate their life. Because they're imitating Jesus. We follow them because they're leading us toward Jesus. Just as the elders are faithful to the Word of God, so should we be. We've talked a lot in passing this morning about the writing in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. A lot of times we call those qualifications over there. I would rather look at them as character traits that are being manifested in the lives. These men don't have these things in perfection, but they are present and they are working and they are growing in them. And you think of the character traits that are found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, those things are essential to make an elder a good example to follow. Which, by the way, it's not only elders that need to be blameless. It's not only elders that need to be the husband of one wife. It's not only elders who need to be upright and holding their anger and doing all the things that are written in those passages. It's every member of the local church family. We tend to hold our leaders to a higher standard than ourselves. That's not biblical. We follow their example of Christianity. We heed it. We imitate it. And by the way, aren't the high character traits that are mentioned in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1 worthy of following? Absolutely they are. And we need to be more serious in following those things. I think we expect a lot of things out of our elders. And rightly so. But we expect them to be faithful. We expect them to be connected. We expect them to be at all the services. What about us? What if your eldership had the same kind of attendance record at Bible class and worship that you did? Would they still be elders? What if your eldership had the same attitude toward God's Word that you do? Would they still be elders? We expect the elders to have these things going on in their lives. And we need to ask a question, what if everyone else were as involved if they are? I think sometimes we spend way too much time in criticism of the eldership, and I just ask you this, what if we spent less time criticizing the elders and started looking for the good in their life to imitate? How much better and stronger and more mature would the local church family be? We know the answer. That would change a congregation, every congregation, for the good. You see, if we refuse to imitate the righteous faith of qualified men, we sin against God. The admonition is found very clearly in Hebrews 13:7. Here's the last point. I know we've been here a long time this morning. Lunch is calling, so I've got one last point. And I want us to turn to the book of James. James chapter 5. Because here's another responsibility that we have toward those who serve us as elders. We have the responsibility to call on them when we are in need. Let's go to James 5. Let's look at verse 14. Notice the writing of James. He says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now, we can get tripped up over all the things of what the anointing with oil was and is and should be and so on and so forth. We can do that and miss the point of this. The point of James chapter 5 and verse 14 is that we call on them when we are in need. That's the main point. And I want you to notice this passage. Because here, the main level of responsibility is placed squarely on the members of the local church family to inform the elders of their needs. Do you see that there? Look again at the passage. If you are the one that's sick, if you are the one that's struggling, if you are the one who has suffered shipwreck of your faith because of the attacks of Satan, it's your responsibility to go to the elders and say, "I'm struggling here, I need your help." This doesn't happen like it should. And it leads to all sorts of problems. And if you go to the eldership and you communicate to them your need and they decide to do nothing about that need, then God is going to hold them responsible. But usually that is not the problem. The problem is that many church members keep the elders in the dark about certain situations and then neglect on not acting for the need, and that responsibility falls on you, not the elders. Brothers and sisters, God has blessed elders with spiritual insight. He has blessed them with spiritual wisdom. He has blessed them with patience and love and humility and all of those things. But He has not given them the ability to read your mind and to know what's going on in your life. You've got to tell them. They're not mind readers. They've not been blessed with supernatural gifts to perceive what's going on in your life. Communication is absolutely essential. You can't charge the elders with neglect if you haven't told them what's going on in your life. I know from personal experience that sometimes we fear going to them out of fear because of criticism or rejections of needs. Been there, done that? I've struggled with it. And I know if I have, there's others. And let me just remind you this. We got to get rid of that attitude. Because the shepherds in your local church family are on your side. And they want to be the first to empathize with you and offer you compassion and care and concern. The elders in your family want you to be the first that they can go to pray for you and to help you with your needs. We need to see our elders in that light. Do we? If you'll let the elders know of your needs, then you're going to find that you have better and more efficient elders than you could have ever imagined. Communicate with them. Let them know what is going on in your life. You are not a burden to them. They care about you. and they want to see your spiritual success. Now, as we've studied together today, this lesson has not been intended to be exhaustive, but I do think it covers some needs that are out there in many congregations today, and we need to be challenged in these matters. And so as we close, I want to ask you, how is your relationship with your shepherds? How is it? Could it be improved? Do you know them? Are you involved with them? Do you know their commitment to God and His Word and His truth? Not only that, but do you respect them? And does that seem in day-to-day life? Are you willing to obey them and submit to them, even when you disagree with them? And are you willing to call them when you have them? If we, as members of the family, would do that more, we're going to see a growing family that's stronger day by day with one another and ultimately with God. And that's the desire, is it not? So we have a responsibility as members of the family. The elders have responsibilities as shepherds. And when we work together, great things will happen in God's church. Let's renew our commitment to this relationship. Let's be thankful. If you're in a family that has elders, be thankful. Be thankful every day. I mentioned the church family I'm familiar with where my parents worship. I was just there 2 weeks ago. It is a sad, sad thing to see a church that's been in business 42 years and can't come together to have leadership. You never ought to be thankful for them and let them know how much you appreciate them. Thank
you. We want to thank Matt as well as the other speakers this morning. When you put together some ideas for a series like this, you never quite know how it's going to turn out. And I want to say